This is Naima Novetsky from AllahTorah.org. This week's TorahCast will delve into one of the troubling theological issues raised by the description of the rewards and punishments in Parashat Bechukotai, whether or not Hashem ever rejects sincere repentance. For close to 30 verses, Vayikra chapter 26 lists the various curses to be meted out for the nation's disobedience, including famine, war, plagues, and exile. At the end of the chapter, though, Hashem suggests that when in exile, the people will ultimately repent and confess their sins. V'hitvadu et avonam v'et avon avotam b'ma'alam asher ma'aluvi v'af asher halchuimi b'keri. And they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in trespassing against me, and that they have walked in hostility against me. One might have thought that this action would cause a change in the nation's fortune, and that the people's repentance would bring promises of consolation in its wake. Yet surprisingly, Hashem's reaction to the nation's apparent confession is not forgiveness, but redoubled punishment. Af ani elich imam bekeri vehiviti otam be'eret oyivehem, o az yikana levavam he'arel va'az yirtu et avonam. And I will also walk in hostility against them, and I will bring them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts become humble, and then they should find acceptance regarding their iniquity. How should this response be understood? Does Hashem really reject sincere repentance? Are not confession and repentance supposed to bring atonement? As Hashem promises in Devarim chapter 30, V'shavta at Hashem Elokecha, V'shamata v'kolo, V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha, V'richamecha, and you will return to Hashem your God and obey him, and Hashem your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. How can our verses in Vayikra be reconciled with this verse in Devarim, which clearly states that when we return to God, he will in turn have compassion on us? Why in our verses does Hashem not do the same, but instead seemingly rejects the nation's repentance and rather than forgiving them mercifully, slaps them in the face with further punishment? Our verses raise several other textual difficulties as well. When describing the renewed punishment, Hashem warns that he will bring the people into the land of their enemy. Considering that the verses present the nation as already in exile, which enemy land is referred to in this verse? The verse continues, O az yikana levavam he'erel, va'az yirtu et avonam. How does this description of submissive hearts relate to the punishment that is spoken of immediately beforehand? What role does the word O, normally translated as or, play in the sentence? Does the verse describe a reaction to the punishment, or an alternative to it? In attempting to answer our questions, commentators take one of two main approaches. They either reinterpret the verses in a manner which obviates the theological question, or maintain a literal reading of the verses by challenging the assumption that penitence always averts punishment. Let's start with the first category of commentators, those who assume that it is not possible that Hashem would refuse to accept sincere repentance, and therefore reinterpret our verses to be in accordance with this assumption. A first variation of this position focuses on the description of the nation's confession, suggesting that it was somehow lacking, and that therefore additional punishment was both appropriate and necessary. The 13th century Spanish commentator Ramban suggests that though the people recognized and admitted to their sins, v'hitvadu et avonam, this was not followed by a change of ways. Mere words, unaccompanied by action, are meaningless, and so despite their perfunctory confession, the people were still deserving of more punishment. Hashem therefore tells the nation that he will bring them into the land of their enemies. Since the verses assume that the nation was already in exile, Ramban understands this to mean that though Hashem will return the people to Israel, they would not have autonomy there, for the land would still be controlled by their enemies. Hashem tells the people that this will be their lot until O adikana levavam ha'arel va'az yirtu et avonam, until either they fully repent or their sin is atoned for by adequate punishment. According to Ramban, the word O does not indicate that this phrase serves an alternative to the earlier mentioned punishment of being exiled in enemy lands. Rather, it merely contrasts the two clauses of the phrase itself. Once in the land of their enemies, the people will either have a change of heart or be punished even more. Abarbanel, a 15th century Portuguese and Spanish commentator, limits the confession of the people in a different way, suggesting that only a portion of the people repented. He assumes that the curses of our verse came true at the end of the first temple period, when the nation was exiled to Babylonia. While in exile, the leaders, such as Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, all did indeed repent, but the lay people did not. As such, Hashem threatens that if the laity continues to sin, they would be dispersed to even further lands. But if they decide to submit their hearts to God and follow their leaders' examples, O Adi Kana Levavam Ha'arel, such repentance would atone for their sins, and the second exile would not be necessary. Va'ad yirtu et avonam. Ramban and Abarbanel's different understandings of the phrase "Vehevti otam be'eret oyvehem," and what this punishment constitutes, either a second exile or returning to an Israel ruled over by foreigners, might be influenced by their personal backgrounds. Abarbanel lived through multiple expulsions, and so he understands Hashem is saying that insufficient repentance will lead the nation from one exile to another. Ramban, on the other hand, experienced what it was like to return to Israel while it was still under foreign rule. At the end of his life, he made it to Eretz Israel, but it was not autonomous, and thus he reads this back into the verses. Both of these rereadings of the verses easily solve our theological problem. Since they assume that there was no real change in the nation's behavior, it is understandable why Hashem would continue to punish the people. Our verses do not contradict the verses in Devarim and elsewhere, which promise reconciliation after penitence, since all of those refer to a case in which there is complete and sincere repentance, unlike that found here. True repentance does indeed have the power to bring forgiveness in its wake, but mere words and insincere or partial repentance do not. A second variation of this general approach is basically the flip side of the first. It resolves our theological issue by reinterpreting not the people's apparent repentance, but rather the apparent punishment, suggesting that despite initial impressions, our verses do not really state that punishment will follow penitence at all. As such, the 12th century commentator, Ibn Ezra, suggests that the apparent punishment, Hashem's words, Ani elech imam bekeri, behaviti otam be'eret oyvehem, is not a description of what Hashem plans to do in the future after the nation's confession, but rather it is a description of what took place in the past, a description of what brought about the people's confession. Hashem tells the nation that the reason he had walked contrary to them and had brought them to the land of their enemies was so that az yikana levavam ha'arel va'az yirtu et avonam, so that they would surrender their hearts to him and thereby make up for their iniquities. This actually worked. Their past punishments did bring confession in their wake, and so new punishments were needed. Rav David Zvi Hoffman, a 19th century German rabbi and scholar, offers an alternative reading of the apparent punishment. He suggests that the words Ani elech imam bekeri are actually not part of Hashem's speech, but part of the confession of the nation. As the people confess their sins, they not only admit their own wrongdoing, but also mention and justify Hashem's punishment, recognizing that all that had befell them by Hashem's hand was so that they would repent and change their ways. Both Ibn Ezra and Rav Hoffman thus present Hashem as accepting the people's repentance and forgiving them, obviating our theological issue. However, neither of their readings of the verse is particularly smooth. Both must read future tense verses as if they are written in the past, and Rav Hoffman further fails to explain why the people would speak about Hashem using first-person language rather than third-person. These difficulties highlight how strongly these commentators believed that Hashem never punishes one who has sincerely repented, leading them to bend over backwards to say that the verses cannot be speaking of punishment, despite the difficulty with maintaining such a reading. This then leads us to the second main approach to our question, one which does not attempt to reread our verses at all, but rather challenges the assumption that punishment cannot follow penitence, concluding that this is simply not always true. The 15th century Rav Avram Saba explains that despite the nation's repentance, Hashem continues to punish them even more harshly than before, because sometimes atonement can come only via suffering. Repentance is not a cure-all potion preventing punishment. Sometimes Confession alone does not suffice to gain atonement. It is only through further suffering that one can achieve full penance for one's deeds. This is not necessarily unfair at all, and according to some people, might even be the more just reaction to sin. After all, why should saying sorry, even when accompanied by a change of behavior, necessarily erase the need for punishment for previous crimes? If one murders, just because one is sorry and resolves not to do so again, does this absolve earlier guilt or the need for retribution? As such, Rav Saba explains that in our verses, Hashem tells the nation that even though they have already been exiled, and despite their confessions, Hashem will now make them wander to yet other countries where they will be subjected to even crueler treatment, because their sins have still not been fully paid for. Rav Saba explicitly reads this curse on the backdrop of his own time period, sharing how Hashem's words have come true in his own era. The Jews of Castile, who had lived in exile like royalty, were expelled to Portugal, where conditions immediately deteriorated, and from there they were exiled once again to surrounding Arab lands. These Jews were righteous people who had confessed their wrongdoings numerous times, but were nevertheless punished for the previous offenses of others. In his reading of the verses, Rav Saba attempts to offer subtle comfort to those of his generation, telling them that their suffering does not mean that they are still sinners, only that the crimes of previous generations have not yet been fully atoned for. In summary, we have seen how several commentators, including Ramban and Ibn Ezra, reject the possibility that Hashem might punish a penitent nation, leading them to reinterpret either the description of the nation's confession or that of Hashem's punishment. Others, like Rav Avram Saba, maintain a literal reading of the verse, claiming that actually, repentance might simply not always suffice to avert punishment. Which side of the debate speaks most to you? Must repentance always bring atonement in its wake? Does forgiveness always need to follow an apology? And even when it does it also need to be accompanied by a waiver of punishment? For more on this topic and other topics related to Parashat Bechukotai, please visit alatorah.org.